Well, this is our day of joy as we begin the seriousness of Holy Week. We welcome Jesus as King with the crowds. And yet, in this particular gospel, we read that it's Jesus' enemies, not the crowds, who make the most profound statements about who Jesus is, his power, and his reign. They were the ones who actually had more theological insight than the crowds that lined the streets, and yet they would not believe. John gives us insights into the triumphal entry that the other gospel writers don't include. John lists as Jesus' last great miracle the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus performed other healings after this one, like making blind Bartimaeus able to see again, but Lazarus was the most profound. It occurred probably just weeks or months before Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem. And John includes this story as his culminating I am statement, other than the couple of other times when Jesus will simply say, I am. This is the I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said it to Martha prior to raising Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believes and lives in me will never die. Martha professes her faith, as Judy shared a couple of months ago, that she does believe. And I doubt that any of Jesus' enemies were privy to that somewhat private conversation. And yet the weight of Jesus' claim that he is the resurrection and the life is not lost on them. They realize that the one who has power over death has much power and can change people. The religious leaders had already set out to kill Jesus prior to this. In fact, it was when Jesus decided to head back to Bethany to raise Lazarus that Thomas says to the other disciples, "Let us go with him that we too may die with him." They all knew that it was dangerous for Jesus to go back towards Jerusalem. Why was the raising of Lazarus so significant? After all, Jesus had already raised people from the dead. He'd raised Jairus' daughter, a woman's only son, a centurion's servant. It was different because Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. His body was already in the process of decay when Jesus called him out from the tomb. Clearly, Jesus had power over life and death. His enemies knew it in their heads. They knew it was a fact, and yet they still refused to believe what they knew to be true. They knew others would recognize the signs of Jesus' kingship and messiahship, but they themselves refused to bow to King Jesus. They couldn't stand to admit that they were wrong. Their pride kept them from Jesus. When has your own pride kept you from admitting to the truth? Is pride keeping you away from Jesus? After learning that Jesus raised Lazarus, Caiaphas too makes a prophetic statement about Jesus. He proclaims, "It's better that one man die for the people than to have the whole nation be destroyed." Even though the rulers knew Jesus' power and his popularity, his enemies' fear of the Roman Empire was greater. They didn't have faith that Jesus would protect them from Rome, while the people saw Jesus as their savior from Rome. Fear was another factor that kept Jesus' enemies from believing in him. What fears cause your faith in Jesus to waver? Does fear overcome your faith, or does faith overcome fear? What is keeping you from the truth of Jesus? Well, once again, the priests were right. Jesus did not come to save them from the hand of Rome. But on the other hand, fear shouldn't have kept them from the truth, because Jesus came to save them from something far greater than the power of Rome. He came to save them from the power of death itself. As the resurrection and the life, he came to save them from eternal separation from God. He would die not only to save Israel, but the whole world. Jesus had proven that he had power over death, but what no one knew, not even the religious authorities, was that Jesus had the power to raise himself from the dead. It's funny that they wanted to kill the one who had power over death, and yet never considered that he might be able to raise himself. The crowds cried, "Hosanna, save now," having no idea that the salvation that Jesus came to offer necessitated his death. The witness of Lazarus was so compelling that more and more people came to believe in Jesus. The news spread quickly. These believers or would-be believers are the ones who lined the streets and formed the crowds that were following Jesus as he came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. They were his entourage. Curiosity had drawn them to Jesus. What is it that drew you to Jesus? The testimony was so compelling that Jesus' enemies sought to kill Lazarus as well. They wanted not only to kill Jesus, but Lazarus. This is why some Bible scholars and church historians think that the other gospel writers didn't include this story of Lazarus in their gospels, because the threats were ongoing. His life testified to the power of Jesus Christ. How strongly does your life testify to the power of Jesus Christ? The religious leaders recognized that this event, this resurrection of Lazarus, caused the whole world to go after Jesus. And yet still they would not repent. Seeing the crowds following Jesus, they thought their plans to kill him and Lazarus were foiled. But they didn't know that Jesus had come into Jerusalem intentionally. They didn't know that he would willingly surrender to death, that he would willingly surrender to arrest, not because of their clever schemes and intense planning, but in order to do the will of his Father in heaven. They didn't know how easily the shallow crowd would turn once Jesus was arrested. Is your own faith shallow or wholehearted? The crowds honored a Messiah that they didn't understand. Some were waiting to see what would happen. Others truly placed their faith in him. Some continued to wait for signs. Others believed what Jesus had already told them. The religious leaders refused to worship what they knew to be true, and yet Nicodemus and Joseph and other Pharisees trusted Jesus as the Messiah. They refused to participate in the mockery of the trial that was to come. How would you characterize your own relationship with Jesus? Are you disappointed when Jesus doesn't conform to your image? Do you submit and worship to the one who is the true living way? Are you willing to trust Jesus even when you don't understand? I wonder what Jesus' expression was as he was riding into Jerusalem. Jesus, who could look at the crowds and know the hearts of all people. I wonder if that first Palm Sunday might not have been all that joyful for Jesus himself, the one who was riding in silence. The whole world has gone after him was an inspired exaggeration. We do know that in Jerusalem at the time were people from every single part of the Roman Empire, as well as anywhere else the Jews had gone, from Egypt to Afghanistan, to Spain, people came back to Jerusalem for the Pentecost and Passover feasts. They might not have had a clue on that Palm Sunday, but in a few short weeks, thousands would turn to Jesus, thousands upon thousands believing and being baptized, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost alone. They would return home and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Though the whole world hasn't gone after him, there are those of every nation, of every tongue, and every tribe, people of every ethnic group who have and will go after Jesus. Jesus is King, not only of Israel, but of the whole world. Jesus did and will have his victory. And that is why today, Palm Sunday for us, is that joyful day of celebration. We don't have to cry, "Hosanna, Hosanna," pleading to Jesus to save us. He has already saved us. We have to only recognize what the saints described in the book of Revelation, who continuously proclaim, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb praise and glory and wisdom and strength and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." We have to recognize the salvation that Jesus has already offered to us. Have you acknowledged that gift that Jesus has given to you? Don't wait. Don't be like the religious leaders who knew it, they understood it, and yet they refused to accept the gift. Receive the gift that Jesus has offered to you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that today for us is a joyful day. We can celebrate on Palm Sunday the joy of the gift that you have given and the truth that you are the ruler of the world. We thank you that you came to draw all people to yourself. We thank you that you came to give us the gift of salvation. Blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord, and blessed are we who receive your gift. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.